Today is May 23rd, 2017, and I'm in Raven Landing 1, apartment
3B.
My name is Nona Howard, and I'm here with the occupant of this apartment is Patty Pippas. And I want to thank you, Patty, for doing this today and doing this with us and sharing and being a part of our project.
Oh, I'm happy to do that.
Good. First of all, we'll start with a little biographical information, and you can tell us where you were born and when you were born.
Well, I was born 2 weeks before Pearl Harbor was bombed in November of 1941, November 14th. And I was born in Gunnison, Colorado. Lived there my whole life until I went to college. And
tell us a little bit about your childhood there in Gunderson.
Oh, it was so much fun. We had we just played outside all summer long, and we all went to the same school, elementary school and middle school and then high school. So we knew everyone that we went to school with. We I guess it was just, to me, it was an ideal childhood.
How many were in your family?
I have two sisters, older and younger. I'm the middle child. And I had two grandparents that were really very close to me. They lived in Hillside, Colorado. And I got to spend some time with them every summer, which was delightful. I got to go to Hillside and stay for a couple of weeks. Just seemed like the greatest thing in the world to me. But in terms of growing up, we rode horses. I had a horse. We just rode around town. We went camping a lot and fishing a lot. And it was just a delightful place to grow up and build friendships and have fun.
Anything you'd like to tell us about your parents? Or?
My dad was a really interesting person. He was kind of an entrepreneur, an inventor. He finished the eighth grade and then had to stop school so that he could work to earn money for his family. And it was, of course, during the Depression. But he used to help me with my high school trig problems. Not the orthodox way, but he was really a very, very bright man. And he would invent things. You know, the trucks, the semi-trucks that have the little short truck trailer and then the big one behind it. He built the first one of those. He called it a pup trailer. And he would, he saw a building. I went to school in Fort Collins, Colorado State University, and the engineering department had built this really interesting building with an unusual roof, hyperbolic curved roof. He thought it was so great, he went back to Gunnison and built a building like that for a filling station. And he hauled cattle. He had big red trucks that had Johnny B on them. Bouchard was my maiden name. And gasoline, and he was just an interesting guy. My mother was a stay-at-home wife, and she did the bookkeeping for his business. But in terms of relatives, I've just learned in the last 5 years about two women who were really fantastic, and my cousin, who's the same age I am, also a woman, we're 2 weeks apart. We agreed we have really strong female relatives. And one woman who was the grandmother of my grandmother lived in Iowa, I'm sorry. And her husband came home from the Civil War and was badly wounded. And so he was home for a little while and then he died. So she loaded her kids up. She had six or seven kids in an ox cart and went across the country to Colorado and homesteaded, which is pretty remarkable for a woman. Yes, and then my dad's mother, my dad was second youngest of eight kids, and they lived in a log cabin with a dirt floor, just poor as church mice. But his mother and his father met during the Oklahoma land rush. They were both rushing, I guess. My dad was My maiden name is Bouchard, and his parents came from Canada, fur trapper origin, and I have a lot of Native American in my history, I guess. And my grandmother was from Waverly, Tennessee. And I think my grandfather was pretty a dandy, I guess. He liked to just run around all the time. But he was home often enough that they had 8 children. And but finally, I guess when my dad was maybe 6 years old and he had a younger brother, she loaded all of them up when they were in Oklahoma and moved him to Colorado herself and divorced him, which was almost unheard of in those days. So Yvonne and I talk about our strong relatives, you know, that these strong women.
Strong women in your background.
Yeah.
Well, very good. What brought you to Alaska?
I think being a strong woman. You know, I came, actually, it's kind of interesting because I had just finished college and I was engaged to this young man that lived in Colorado. And he was in the Army at the time. And all of a sudden, it just didn't make sense. It just wasn't right. And so I broke it off. And I decided to go on an adventure. And I got my teaching license because we were going to live in his town. And I actually had a degree in interior decorating and art. But I figured I wouldn't be able to make a living or work in a little town with that. So I got my teaching license. And I decided I wanted to teach school either in Laramie, Wyoming. I'm so glad I didn't go there. Or Fairbanks, Alaska. And so I contacted the school district up here, and just right after they would have gotten my letter, I got a telegram from them offering me a job. So that was pretty exciting. That was in 1963.
Oh, my gosh, it is exciting.
It was really
what
exciting.
What made you pick Fairbanks?
I have no idea, Nona. It just, in my mind, it just seemed like a wonderful place to go.
Very good.
And I'm glad I did.
Yeah.
And so that's what brought me here. And teaching school, yeah. And I...
Well, what led to your career, your teaching school? How did you decide on being a teacher?
Well, I told you, kind of, you know, yeah. So... but when I taught, when I did my student teaching, I really fell in love with the kids. I was observing in the back of a classroom in a middle school, watching this art teacher, and she'd turn around and do stuff on the board, and the room would just come to life. Paper airplanes and all kinds of stuff. And she'd turn around and it would be like little angels sitting there. I mean, they just transformed the minute she wasn't watching them. And it just tickled me. I just thought, that is so funny. They weren't disrespectful because they respected her when she turned around, but they were just full of vim and vinegar. And I thought that would be fun. And it was fun. And I always, I'm really glad I chose education as a career, although there have been times that I've wandered in and out of it. But I taught art and English.
And where all did you teach here?
Well, I taught at Maine Junior High. That was the first art teacher they'd had, I guess, since they built Lathrop or something.
Oh.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. So I taught in the basement of Maine Junior High.
Yep, yep. Up the down staircase.
School. Up the down staircase was right out my door. And I taught there for 2 years. It might have been 3 years. I worked a lot with Bob Boko from the high school and Doris Ray. We did some interdisciplinary things, I know. Art and music and theater. And then they transferred me to instructional television. So I taught on television, and that was really fun. We did our lessons. They put a television set. I guess they wrote some grant and put a television set in every classroom, every elementary classroom in Fairbanks. And then they hired, there were 5 of us, and then we bought some other programs. And we had a social studies teacher, Betty Fahrenkamp, and Rita Millison. I don't know if you... remember her? Jane Smith was our director. Linda Hall, who's still teaching here. There was a PE teacher. What was her name? Dorothy Sue Barclay taught, I don't remember what. But anyway, so we planned these lessons and learned how to work on television, and it was really fun. I've never worked so hard in my life, nor have I ever had as much fun as that group. Because we'd sit down and brainstorm, and then we'd design the lessons, and we had to be floor directors and directors while the other people were on air. So it was really fun. Okay. And they sent those...
good teamwork.
It was really good teamwork. And they sent the tapes out all over Alaska for a couple, 3 years, I guess. Mm. And then I was here in the district for 5 years and then left. We went to Indiana. And my husband got his master's in administration, and I taught there. And then we moved. You want me to tell you where all we moved?
It's your story.
Well, from Muncie, Indiana, where he got his master's, we moved to Craig, Alaska, and he was the superintendent there, and I taught school. We were there 7 years. We had two more children while we lived there. We had one son here. I also had a little gift shop named the Berry Bush that I opened and ran, which was great fun. We were there 7 years. And then from Craig, we moved back to Indiana. And Stan got a job as assistant superintendent, and I went to college to get my master's. I commuted to Muncie. And then we moved to Salmon, Idaho. And from Salmon, Idaho, we moved. We were there. I was there 7 years. Stan left after five and went out to the Pribilofs. Our marriage was getting a little shaky. And he went out to the Pribilofs and then asked me to come up with the kids and see if we could make our relationship work better. So I went to the Pribilofs, which was great, great experience. And then we moved back, the kids and I moved back to Salmon, Idaho. And Stan went to Oregon. So we were in Salmon, Idaho. And from Salmon, I got a job in Powell, Wyoming, being a curriculum coordinator, which paid a lot more money, which was nice being a single parent. And then from Craig, I went to New Milford, Connecticut to be an assistant principal in charge of curriculum and developed some really unique programs there, which is what I call myself a change agent in education, because I don't like traditional school organization. So I was always wanting to make it different. And that was what they were looking for. So they hired me in New Milford. And while I was there, I heard about a principal's job for a fine art school. And that, you know, being an art major, that was really intriguing to me. And I applied for it in Kansas City, Missouri, and got it. So that was pretty exciting. So I went there and opened a new school and did that program. It was a great experience. Some real interesting political stuff, because we were dealing with the schools there were designed to eliminate segregation. So it was trying to bring white people back into the city. And we were doing it with really exciting programs. So that was kind of fun. And then there was a job that opened in Crested Butte, in Gunnison, Colorado, which is where I grew up. And I thought, oh, it'd be fun to go back home. So I went out and interviewed for it. And there were five of us. And it's not uncommon, but we were all five in the same place, meeting people, you know, sort of meet and greet. And then we had our interviews, and we went back home, and I got a call the next morning, and they said, you didn't get the job in Gunnison. And I said, oh, and they said, but they want you to come right back and interview for a job in Crested Butte, which is the ski town close to Gunnison, which was really where I always wanted to live. Spent a lot of time there as a kid. So I went back and got that job. And I stayed there for 8 years, and while I was there, I got contacted by a headhunter. They were looking for a principal for a performing arts school in Denver. And so I interviewed for that job and got that job, which was really fun. And it was one of the things that was interesting about interviewing for that. My sister is a headhunter for pharmaceuticals. And it's my older sister, and she's done it for, she doesn't anymore, she's retired. But she you know, it was really a big process for her to go find people and interview them and make recommendations, etc. And I told her what I was doing. She said, oh, what are you wearing? You know, she was really concerned about that I wore the right thing. And she said, there's a girl that works here in my office that has just the perfect outfit. And so she sent it to me, and it was so un-Patty. You know, it was kind of a olive drab green knit with no details on it. And I mean, it was
You're the real, artist, and that wasn't that was in not with your on your palette.
No. So I mailed it back to her, and I said, I'll take care of it. And she was just hounding me for, what are you wearing? What are you wearing? Well, I agreed with when I talked to the headhunter, I said, why don't we meet in Leadville? It's a little town. You can see some of Colorado. It's a little town up in the mountains, and there's a place there called the Chocolate Moose. It's just a nice little place. And he said, that sounds kind of fun. And I said, well, it is. It's a good thing. So we met at the Chocolate Moose. And I wore a seersucker gray and white striped skirt and a red sweater and my red Converse sneakers, because I always wore red Converse sneakers. And I told my sister that, and she said, oh, my God, Patty. Oh, what are you thinking? Well, I got the job, and when I got the job, that was one of the things everybody talked about, were my red sneakers. In fact, when I left there after 8 years, they always hang a portrait of the principal in the office in the Denver schools. And one of the seniors did a portrait of me. It's life size. And I have on red Converse. So that's sort of my... But anyway, then from Denver, or from Crusty Butte, I moved to Denver School of the Arts when I got that job. And then I heard about a new high school opening in Juneau. And I, you know, this is like the fourth school that was brand new. When I was in Crusty Butte, we moved from a K-8 to a K-12 and built a new building. So this could be the fourth new building. So I applied for it and got it and helped design, and I had a year to plan the program for Thunder Mountain High School in Juneau. And then I retired. But I spent 47 years in public education. And still really like kids.
Good.
So.
Very good. You had wonderful career stories.
Yeah, it was really, it was a good one.
Tell us about your fondest memories.
You know, you told me that was going to be a question. And I have a lot of fond memories. I think one of the neatest, though, was when my son got married. I told him I wanted a grandchild soon. I always said to the kids, I can hardly wait to have a grandchild because I will spoil them like I didn't spoil you, you know. But anyway, Stosh and Patty got married, and they had been married for a couple of years and no baby yet. For their first anniversary, I gave them a book on baby names. Hint, hint, you know. And because paper's the first year anniversary gift, I think. And then sometime during that second year, they had me come to Denver. They lived in Denver. And we had dinner, and they toasted with champagne and announced that they were pregnant. So I was excited. And the day of my birthday, which is November 14th, I was going to go to Crested Butte to work. I lived in Gunnison, but I was going to, you know, go to work as regular. But I got a call at 5:30 in the morning from Stosh, and he said Patty had the baby.
On your birthday?
On my birthday. And so I called my secretary and said, I'm going to Denver. And she said, but you have to come up here before you go. They had this wonderful birthday cake, and they had smeared out happy birthday, and they wrote happy grandbaby birthday on it, you know, because they were going to have a party for me, and they changed it to grandbaby party. But that was really exciting. He was considerably early, and it was kind of scary because he was 3.5 pounds, just tiny.
Yeah.
But
he's okay.
He's okay. And so we share that birthday, and that was a really big moment. My girls, on the other hand, they always said, yeah, Stosh, my son, has always been your favorite. You know, they jokingly say that.
And so how many children did you have?
Three.
Three.
A boy and two girls. And they always have said that, you know, and they said, and wouldn't you know, he had her first grandchild on her birthday, you know. Anyway, but the kids, lots of memories of my kids, you know.
Yeah.
It's
a hard question for a mother, I think.
It is.
It's a very hard question.
It's, I have a lot of really fond memories, yeah. And I can't even, I have a lot of memories with a group of friends that have stayed friends for years, and we used to have tea parties and dress up. In the afternoon. It was silly. When we get through, I'll show you some tea party pictures of my friends. We just always had a lot of fun.
Well, what brought you to Raven Landing?
Well, I came, my daughter, Stacia, my youngest daughter, has always lived in Alaska. She went to school here at the university. Well, she was in the Peace Corps, and she taught special ed in New Mexico on the reservation for a while, and she worked in social services in Anchorage for a while. And then she decided she wanted to learn how to fly. So she loaded everything up and got a student loan and went to Arizona to a flight school and learned how to fly helicopters. That's what her dream was. And she did it in less than a year. And then that company hired her to be an instructor. And then they hired her to open a branch in White Horse, Montana, a branch school. So she went up there and opened a branch school and taught people there how to fly helicopters. And then she just always wanted to come back to Alaska. And so she applied for helicopter jobs. And she was hired by ERA and flew tourists in the summer and out to the oil platforms in the winter. And she did that for a number of years, and she got really tired of the summer. It was fun to meet people, but she worked, you know, in the summer from May until September 24/7. There's no time off.
Mm-hmm.
And she wanted to buy a house and have a life and not just live in a dormitory for two-thirds of the year. So she got a job and wanted to do something that was very meaningful, and so she flies Flight for Life now. She works for a company, and she's flying out of Wasilla. And so that's what... Anyway, that's how I got here. She wanted me to come up for Christmas one year because she couldn't get off. They alternate holidays. So I flew up, and she said, why don't you go up to Fairbanks and see your friends up there? Because I still had some friends here from when I taught. And I said, oh, that'd be good. I hadn't been back here for about 5 years because, well, I came to the Summer Arts Festival a few times, so I've always loved Fairbanks. I would not have left if Stan had not wanted to go, really. So I came up and stayed with Karen Parr and Fran Zawacki. I was here for 4 or 5 days, I think, and I just loved the feel of Raven Landing. So I filled out an application while I was here and paid my deposit and went back and sold my house and came up.
Very good, good. So what is your experience now that you're here? What is your experience?
Oh, I just think it's delightful. I think it's a perfect place to live. We have independence and freedom as much as you want, you know, really. And very few imposing rules. I like candles. That's one that bothers me. But I've lived without candles now for 2 years, so I'm okay. And I just find the people are really, for the most part, very interesting, very bright, alive. And it's fun to be around people who are older that are still vital.
Yeah.
That's what I love about it.
That's what you like about it. Okay, I'm going to ask you a final question about... Can you tell me what's your favorite age and why?
I did think about that.
You did? Okay.
And right now, I think I am so totally content. I would say right now. Except because I have COPD, my opportunities to do the things I want to do are really limited.
Mm-hmm.
And that really interferes. And so I started thinking back And I think when I was in my 40s, my kids were old enough then that I didn't have to cut their meat or tie their shoes. I had a lot of fun with my friends. It was just a really, really neat time of my life. I think from 40 to 50 was just a very special time. I just had so much fun and enjoyed. The kids were in school, and I loved their stuff. And, you know, so I would say then was my favorite time. But this is pretty nice.
Pretty nice right now. It here is. At Raven Landing.
It is.
Oh, really? Is there anything else you would like to add to this before we finalize? Because you've led a wonderful life, and you've given us a very good story, and I appreciate you doing that.
I don't really. That's enough. I mean, I could probably tell you lots of little short stories, but that's okay.
This is a snapshot of your life. Right. And it's very good, and I really appreciate you doing this for us, Patty.
Well, I'm happy to do it. Thank you.
Okay.